And we got some good economic news today. The Commerce Department reported that the U.S. economy grew at a rate of 4.6% in the second quarter, the fastest pace in more than 2 years. American consumer confidence is also at its highest level in more than a year. But it has also been a rocky week for the stock market. Michael Regan of Bloomberg News joins us for more on all of this. Mike, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And first, let's talk about the GDP numbers today. 4.6% in the second quarter is pretty good.
It's really good, you know, but remember the economy actually shrank 2.1% in the first quarter because the winter was just so terrible that it, you know, literally caused the economy to shrink. And if you remember back then, the big debate was, well, is it really just the weather or is this, you know, sign of underlying economic weakness? So this report today sort of, you know, confirms, you know, what we already knew. We had preliminary estimates of this at 4.2%, and then this is the final estimate at 4.6%, and it matches what economists had predicted the number to be. But it does, you know, it does at least put an end to the question of whether that first quarter slowdown was all about the weather. It apparently it was.
So this is just a bounce back. When you start low, it's easy to jump up pretty high.
That's right. A lot of the growth that would have been recorded in the first quarter was pushed ahead to the second quarter.
So what about that consumer confidence figure, though?
That's a good number, too. Yeah, highest in 14 months. A little below economist estimates, but not enough to really worry about. You know, the average estimate was for 84.8, and it was 84.6. So pretty much bang in line. And, it, you know, continuing a trend of better consumer confidence that we've seen in other reports, too.
Now, as this is happening, you would think that the stock market would be going gangbusters right now. But that's not been the case. You know, despite whatever happens today, it's been a rough week. Yesterday, the biggest one-day drop since July, the Dow fell 264 points or 1.5%. What's the bigger picture on what's going on with the stock market?
Well, it's really sort of an interesting time right now. Obviously, the whole world is preparing for the Federal Reserve to first end its quantitative easing bond purchase program next month. And then sometime next year, they are believed to start raising interest rates after this really record long stretch of record low interest rates. And you know, obviously, the way Wall Street operates is they try to model the future direction of the markets based on what they've observed in the past. And the problem is, you know, what the Fed did over these last 5 or 6 years is so unprecedented, you know, with the bond purchases and the near zero interest rates that it's very difficult to model going forward. So, you know, dips like we saw this week are not uncommon. It's actually the 14th time this year that the S&P's lost more than 1% over either 1 day or 2 days. And look, last year, the S&P 500 rallied 30%, and that number of dips happened 19 times. Hmm. But, you know, the issue here is that, you know, it is such an uncertain future path of what's going to happen when rates rise that, and the market's gone almost 3 years without a really considerable drop, that there's a little bit of, you know, fear of heights settling in. And anytime there is a little dip like that, everyone gets a little nervous that this is, you know, the correction that a lot of people have been, you know, predicting would come.
But you're saying that this is fear about what the Fed is going to do, because I've also seen that there is fear about the risk of recession in Europe and slower Chinese growth.
Right, right. That's all part of the mix, too, obviously. You know, as the Fed is sort of, you know, taking its foot off of the gas pedal, some of the other central banks are, you know, accelerating their stimulus. The ECB has reduced their interest rates. There's a lot of speculation that they'll start buying bonds. The Bank of Japan is buying a lot of bonds. So, you know, it's not, the market's sort of comfortable with what they believe the Fed is going to do, but the potential ramifications of it are a bit of a mystery and still need to be, you know, sorted out.
I'm glad you brought up the Bank of Japan, because I want to ask you about what's happening with the dollar, the U.S. dollar versus not just the yen, and it's up about 8% against the yen since July, but also against the euro. The dollar has been strong, gaining more than 3% against the euro since August. Why is the dollar so strong right now, and what does that mean for ordinary Americans?
Well, if you know, you think about it, if you assume interest rates are going to go up, and already the U.S. Treasury bond yields, while they're still very low, they are higher than most yields in Europe and other countries, other developed markets. So, you know, if the U.S. is offering a nice, safe investment like a U.S. Treasury that's, you know, eventually going to yield even a little bit more and more than your bond markets in Europe, well, then a lot of money is going to flow into the U.S. And that's the case for the stronger dollar. If, you know, you can make more money on your fixed income investments in the U.S. So there's demand for dollars to buy those things. And, you know, obviously, whenever there's strong demand for something like that, it tends to raise the value of the dollar. So as far as the individual American, you know, it's kind of counterintuitive, but a strong currency isn't necessarily the best thing for your economy. It, obviously, you know, if you think about it in terms of cars, you know, a stronger dollar makes a BMW suddenly a little bit cheaper compared to a Cadillac, right? So, you know, it's good from a buying perspective. If you want to buy an imported good or go on vacation in Europe, say, your purchasing power is much stronger. But for the companies in this country that are producing goods that they want to export out of the country, you know, that stronger dollar makes those products more expensive now because you're trading your euros and getting less dollars for them.
Well, and of course, you'll more than make up for whatever you gain by having a stronger dollar by however much you have to pay to fly to Europe to spend those stronger dollars. But one more thing I want to ask you about real quick here, Michael, is another big story today. Bill Gross, the bond king, the founder of the firm PIMCO, leaving his job, going to Janus Capital. What do you make of that?
Oh, it's an amazing story. This is if you aren't familiar with him, he's basically I would compare him to the Warren Buffett of the bond market.
Right.
And, you know, the PIMCO is a $2 trillion company. It manages $2 trillion in investments. So the speculation on, you know, are people going to withdraw their money and follow Bill Gross to his new fund? And will the new chief investment officer have a whole different set of investments that he wants to make? Really, it's having ripple effects on everything from the Mexican peso to Italian and Spanish bonds. It's crazy.
Amazing how one man's departure can do that. Michael Regan of Bloomberg News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, staying with the economy, this Saturday, Columbus, Ohio will serve the biggest potato salad ever. What does that have to do with the economy? Well, this past summer, an accidental entrepreneur named Zach Brown used the Kickstarter website to try to raise $10 from strangers for ingredients to make his first potato salad.
When we set out to make a potato salad, we couldn't say yes to every ingredient. And there are 1,000 no's for every yes. Every ingredient.
Well, it was a joke, but one that raised over $55,000. And Zach is going to use some of that money to partner with the Columbus Foundation to raise money to fight hunger. But the rest, well, he has to pay back thousands of investors who paid $3 apiece. So this Saturday, he will be serving 300 pounds of potato salad, Jeremy.